This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So, the only thing left to say is, you win? Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The pensioners are back, but with no walking sticks in sight. They're carefree, wherever they may be. They're the famous CFC. Blue is their colour and football is their game. If you come to Stamford Bridge, you'll remember their name. It's the Chelsea Fancast on Love Sport.
Good evening, all around the country. This is Love Sport Radio from London. How are you?
I hope your Friday's London calling. This is London calling.
I hope your Friday's been good.
Right.
It is. It's been a bit gloomy. It's been a bit grey.
Chelsea.
And that is the voice of Mr. J.K. Jonathan.
The many
Kidd.
Voices
Kido,
of Jonathan Kidd.
Kido.
I like your tash.
Thank you very much. I've grown it in a week.
You
God,
genuinely.
The days when I was little, it took months and months to try and grow anything. Now it just goes.
You look very distinguished.
Thank you. But also, I look unbelievably black.
He's going for the Terry Thomas look, I believe.
Yeah, I am, actually. Absolutely sharp.
Gap in the teeth. You can borrow my flat cap, JK. It'll round it off perfectly.
I've got my own, actually, thank you.
Have you? But mine is a high quality.
So is mine. Mine's a Paul Smith. I shouldn't advertise. Mine's a Paul. Beep.
So yours is a bit of a kind of a fashiony, trendy one, whereas mine is an authentic country.
Yeah, yours
cap.
Is a real one.
Is one of them that's going to speak.
Whichever way you swing this.
Mine is plastic.
Whichever way we swing this, mine is going to be better.
Yeah,
you
of
know
course
that,
it is. Of course it is. I remember, by the way, I did a 20 years ago. Somebody said to me, "Oh, you should keep your." I'm at the game the other day. You sure you should keep your vlog going? Because I used to do a video blog.
You could have been the first Alex Goldberg.
I could have been the first.
He owes it all
and
to
I
you.
No, but I got fed up because I was constantly called a plastic fan by Chelsea fans.
Really?
So just write in and
you did a vlog
because I was too posh.
Oh yeah, that's right.
That's what they said. You're not real. You're not a real fan. You just jumped on the bandwagon. And then somebody defended me and said his hat, which has got his Chelsea Rangers because I'm wearing it, is an authentic one. He said, "Yeah, he just bought it from someone." Yeah. There's always an answer. I couldn't get. Yeah. I gave up. I got so abused by Chelsea fans. Not only opposition.
Inverted snobbery.
Yeah,
indeed
because,
it is.
Because I'm too posh. So from now on, I've got to speak like that. All right,
an absolute shah.
Yeah, absolute shah. It doesn't work if it's a Cockney. Absolute shah.
Good evening, Chich.
Hello, mate. How are you?
Good to see you. Good to see you.
All good.
I know you've had your issues with an aforementioned energy supplier today, but we're not going to be discussing.
They have drained me.
They have.
They've drained me, but I'm all right. I've got another 2 hours energy left in me.
Good man. Plenty on the way this evening.
Your own personal windmills, one personal,
I've got a little man who runs on a wheel outside the studio,
like,
and that gives me the energy I need.
Like a little hamster.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Sweet.
Yeah, we're going to be looking back at Chelsea versus Fulham, Wolves versus Chelsea, and looking ahead to the game against Manchester City. We've got a quiz coming up, which I'm really looking forward to. Can I just shout out...
Another quiz?
Yeah, baby.
I can't actually remember who it is who pulled up Gail Kakuta last week.
Sid?
Fair play. I was
very
sitting
good.
There one night. I picked up the tweet and I said, "Do you know what? I clap my hands. I'll take my cap off to you, mate, because that's a good shout." I'd even forgotten about that.
Yeah,
you lot have even forgotten about that.
No, I completely forgot about. It. There were a few others that.
Chad put you in your place.
Oh, well, Chad
didn't
would.
Oh, Chelsea Chatter. That's the one. Yeah.
Chad phenomenal. Would. I loved it.
He had about eight.
Six more he got. Wasn't
I know.
It, or something.
You know, but they're all like pre-war.
But also, he annulled some because he said, that was during the war.
They were loans only. Chad's such a tart. He's a teacher. You see, I think it brought out the true teacher in him.
Yeah, but I loved it. I put only from the genius that is.
I do remember that in the days when we used to have Chad, because we used to have Chad on the fancast when we had it on TV, and he used to wear these very awful kind of Blue Peter type jumpers. Remember the awful jumpers he used to wear?
As if he was on Open University.
Yeah, and he used to do the stats. He used to do the stats, Aaron. All right, and we had this little trailer for him, didn't we? Little sting, which you did. I think it was me who did the voice. I did it in the kind of Chumley Warner Pathé style.
You did.
And so he had his own little sting, and he would come in with some stats every week. And quite often I would say, "No, that's not right." And he would almost like, kind of like, everything would fall off him. It would sort of foaming at the mouth, wouldn't they? Poor Chad.
Yes.
We do love him. Of course, we had him on the phone the other week.
We did indeed.
Do you want to know what the quiz is this week?
Do you want to reveal it?
Yeah, man. Do you know what? It's completely unoriginal, for which I had two.
Yeah.
Okay. I thought I could do the one that we normally do, but for City and Chelsea this week, as opposed to Fulham and Chelsea as it was last week, or I could do this other one. And I realised that the other one was so long that it wouldn't work.
I've got to fire up my engine for this
okay,
one.
Okay. Well, it's the same questions we asked last week. Who has played for both It's who has played for both Chelsea and Man City.
Oh.
All right, so all they have to do is they need to either tweet at Chelsea Fancast or at Love Sport Radio on your Twitterage. They can phone us up if they want.
Yeah, I'd like
they
that.
Can tell us.
Phone us, yeah.
Or, but if you tweet it, I'll keep an eye on the tweets, and at the end of the show, we'll reveal it. There are 11 that I have found. But my challenge to you lot, the listener, is find more than 11.
Yeah, and Chad will come up with 17.
At least.
Yeah.
From 1 year, probably.
Yeah.
So plenty on the way this evening. There's football in the Championship as well. West Brom taking on Aston Villa in a bit of a Midlands derby. We'll be keeping our eyes on that. Can we speak to Lynn Toomey in a bit about the Surrey press conference? Let's have your 60 seconds each from both of you on a week in Chelsea. Chid, do you want to go first?
Blimey. A bit meh, I think, would be my very short answer. I mean, Fulham really wasn't an impressive victory at all. The nice thing about that was Loftus-Cheek coming on and scoring. That was the highlight for that. And the Wolves game was just bizarre. Jonathan was saying before we came on air that they were good in the first half, and then the minute the Wolves scored, they fell apart. And I wasn't there, but a lot of mates that I know that were there have told me that it was like a balloon being popped. That's how they explained it when that first goal went in. So, not good.
Not good.
Well, I did say that to Chidge, but I was at a carol service, so I didn't go to the game, even though I had a ticket. And I was reading Christmas Carol. I was doing Scrooge and for this carol service, and I missed the game. And I thought, I'm going to nobody going to tell me anything, and I'll watch it live. Watch the live version, the recorded version, at midnight on Chelsea TV. And some bloke came up to me and did that usual thing of saying, "Oh, I see you boys lost 2-1.
Yeah. It's the likely lads. It's that likely lads thing, isn't it?
God.
That's probably one of the funniest ever sitcom episodes
and they didn't even have recordings. Consequently, I watched the game really forensically. And
he does this every week.
I have a slightly different view of lots.
Well, that's good, because I didn't see it at all, apart from the half hour stuff you got on Sky.
On Sky,
later,
I saw all of it.
I forgot about
very
Chelsea
interesting.
TV.
Very interesting.
Yeah. What I'd imagine is you sort of presenting it to the family the next morning with you know the old Andy Gray style computer. Just go, watch this, drawing all over.
I'd love to, weren't not for the fact that they would have left the room immediately, because neither of them like football. Except my daughter, my 9-year-old daughter, has to play football next term, and I said yes. yes, great, you'll be good. And she said, I don't want to play. And ran away.
Oh, dear. Yeah. A bit like Chelsea's players did second half.
No, not quite so, Chidge. I'd still like to come in with a different angle. Anyway,
We're going to take a short pause.
Yeah.
It is the Chelsea Fancast. This is Love Sport Radio. Up next, we'll be speaking to Liam Toomey.
This is Love Sport. Love Sport.
Yeah, good evening. This is Love Sport Radio with your Chelsea Fancast. Time to cross over and talk to our man at the press conference today. His name is Liam Toomey. He's ESPN's Chelsea correspondent. And Liam, I've got to open this up in our traditional way and ask you, what was Sarri's vibe today?
He's pretty laid back, I think. He's not bristling too much at anything, although clearly he's been annoyed with recent results and more really Chelsea's performances in those games, losing control of the game against Wolves in the manner that they did in the second half. And he very firmly believed that the warning signs were there even before the Tottenham game, you know, saying that they weren't starting games with the intensity required. And so I think he's, you know, he's determined to try and get things right against City, but he's also aware that they've got almost no margin for error against, you know, what most people believe is the best team in Premier League history.
Liam, Chidge here. How are you, mate? You all right?
I'm not bad. How are you?
Yeah, good. I didn't catch it live, so I've only kind of really read. I've seen a few clips of it on Sky, but there's a sense to me that he's kind of, you know, raised the white flag with City coming along. There's a pointed question. I really hope you asked it, actually, which was along the lines of, how do we beat City? And he says, well, I've never beaten Guardiola, so I don't know. which may be very honest, but doesn't exactly instill us with a lot of confidence. So has he raised the white flag a bit today, or am I being a bit naughty?
I don't know if it was raising the white flag as such. I think it was, you know, he's been laying the groundwork for this kind of attitude all season. He's been playing down Chelsea's title hopes, especially in relation to City, all year long. Saying that Chelsea aren't ready to make up this 30-point gap that he keeps referring to, which is from last season. You know, he doesn't seem to want to acknowledge that both teams started from zero this year.
Is that because you think he's seen something in training? Do you think he thinks that some of them aren't up to it, or he hasn't got the squad that's up to it?
I think he just knows that, you know, Guardiola also referred to this today in his press conference, that what they're trying to do is more than just building a winning team on the pitch. They're trying to build a team that has a certain style and a certain identity.
Yeah.
And that takes longer. You know, it took Guardiola a season, and he had all the resources in the world at his disposal, and Sarri doesn't have that.
And he wasn't as nice as Sarri, was he? He was very tetchy all the time, wasn't he, Guardiola?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, Guardiola, I think, found that whole season a very frustrating experience. And I think, you know, those times are slowly coming for Sarri as well. And we've seen a bit of that. I can assure you, you know, having seen him at close quarters after games, that he's a competitive animal, and he does get annoyed when Chelsea lose, particularly when they don't play in the way that he wants them to play. Yeah, I think it's a tricky one. He's not raising the right white flag because he did say in a one-off game anything can happen.
Yeah, but which is true.
He's also trying to be realistic about where Chelsea are.
And that, to be fair to him, that's been his stance all season, as we know. There were talks. I mean, obviously, you know, the loss to Wolves was picked up on, and he talked about blackouts and mentality, and, you know, the lack of leadership, which I think stuff that we've been talking about for a while. What does he mean by blackouts, Liam?
Yeah, that was a really interesting term for him to use. You always have to kind of decode what Sarri says, particularly because you have to bear in mind it's his second language, and he's still expanding his use of English. But I took it to mean just moments where they abandon the way he wants them to play. And they just sort of panic. They go into 10, 15-minute spells where they're not really doing anything. And there isn't really a plan. And everyone is, you know, he referred today to 11 different players reacting in 11 different ways. And I think that's what he's talking about. He's talking about individual reactions rather than playing to a team concept.
I wonder if he's also talking about Christensen gave the ball away just before the goal where Willian was throated. He did it just by not looking and passing the ball straight to where somebody should have been. And I wonder whether he means it's that sudden, instant lack of concentration that, as well as it being a general thing for all of them.
I think he wants it to be a combination of those automatic passing angles that they rehearsed in pre-season, or they rehearsed as much as they could in pre-season. He didn't get much time with some players. And, you know, the confidence and the ability to improvise within that, depending on how the game's going and where players are on the pitch. You know, he wants his players to feel free to improvise a little bit, but he doesn't want them panicking and freestyling and basically leaving behind the structure that he's worked so hard to set up. So that's what I took the blackout comment to mean, just the 10-15-minute spell of a bit of self-inflicted anarchy. And if they have a spell like that against City, I mean, things could get very, very ugly.
A few beatings might be in order. Leon, then another area that was covered was the issue about Alonso and Emerson. And I know a lot of people were surprised that Alonso got a start against Wolves. He had a very poor game against Fulham, as we know. There was also talk that he was suffering from a bit of a back injury, and yet he played him. And of course, Emerson wasn't even on the bench for Fulham. So did we get any sense about that? I mean, is Emerson an option for Sarri? Is he available? Why didn't he pick him?
Well, I did. I was the one who asked about Alonso, and I did make sure to follow it up with the
I knew I'd get one in the end, Liam.
because I wanted to make sure, I wanted to try and get something on the record about Emerson, because it has been a little bit strange at times. I was really surprised that Alonso played against Wolves, given what Sarri had said about him carrying a slight injury, and given that he's one of five players, Alonso, that's played every single Premier League game. Now, Sarri was keen to point out today that Alonso hasn't actually played a ton of football because he wasn't involved for Spain in the last international break. So he did get a fairly lengthy rest then. But, you know, for one reason or another, his last two performances haven't been great. And I think a lot of Chelsea fans are wondering why Emerson doesn't get more of a chance. I think he's not on the bench because Sarri sees Azpilicueta as someone who can play right back and left back. So it means that if Emerson's not in the starting 11, he's just not in the squad at all.
But then he plays Zappa Costa, doesn't he, who I haven't got a great deal of faith in.
Well, yeah, he seems to rate Zappa Costa slightly higher, maybe. I'm not quite sure why we haven't asked him.
Well, maybe it's because he's Italian. Somebody should ask him that.
That could be. I mean, the point he made with Alonso today is that his height is quite valuable, and he was speaking particularly in reference to set pieces. Not Alonso taking set pieces, but more, I suspect, with Chelsea defending set pieces, because they are a pretty short team, aside from the centre-backs.
Yeah, true.
You know, you've got Morata, who, I think, aside from his first couple of months in English football, hasn't been the most imposing in the air. You could also play Giroud, but the midfield is all very small, the wingers are small, so that is something to consider. I know it's not the most, it doesn't fit entirely with the more elegant view of the game that Sarri has, but set pieces are a part of football that you have to account for. And Alonso's height was also quite useful to Conte when he was at Chelsea, because what he would often do is when other teams tried to press Chelsea high, Courtois was under instructions to just chip the ball out to the left flank, and Alonso would beat pretty much any winger in the air to get Chelsea back in a more favourable position.
Yes, so that was always a ploy, wasn't it? Yeah.
Fans, I don't think all Chelsea fans are entirely happy with Sarri's view on that, but I think Alonso's performance tomorrow will will tell us a lot about how it might develop.
Liam, talking of tomorrow, quite quickly, because we've got to shoot off for a break in a sec, but do you think we've got a chance against City tomorrow?
Not really, no. We're talking about a team in City that are averaging 3 goals a game in the Premier League, and even though they're without De Bruyne and Aguero, it's the machine that's so frightening that rather than the cogs. So I think Chelsea are really up against it. If they come away with a point, it will feel like a massive victory. Mm. But I do think we'll probably see a City win.
He'll pick the same team as he did last Sunday, you think?
I would imagine so, pretty close to it. I think Giroud will start up front, and I'd expect to see Pedro and Giroud in that front line. Alongside has a Kovacic in midfield to try and keep the ball, although I expect Chelsea to fail on that front. And then the back four will be the back four, as it's been this season.
Thank you so much, Liam, for getting in touch with us and having a chat with us this evening. Go and get yourself indoors, because it sounds very, very blustery.
Very windy out there.
Very blustery. Very windy. Wherever you are. Liam Toomey there with us.
Sounds like just by the river.
Love Sport, 558 AM.
Yeah, this is the Chelsea Fancast on Love Sport Radio on your Friday night. There's only one way to warm up for the weekend, isn't it? That is by listening to Kiddo.
I was thinking going to bed with a big hot water bottle, actually. Yeah. Maybe a very large scotch.
Or putting hot coals down your underwear.
Is that what you used to have to do?
No, he gets somebody to do that for you.
Yeah, exactly. We'll have the hospitality diaries a little bit later on. But let's talk about Wolverhampton Wanderers versus Chelsea. First and foremost, we had a little debate during the break as to whether they played at Molyneux or the Molyneux.
The Moulinex.
I'm sure they either make food processors or tomatoes. That's what, right. Tin tomatoes, one of the two. But Chelsea stumbling to defeat.
To defeat. Well, midweek. My theory is that he will not be thrown out like... Scolari was. He's not doing a Scolari, and I think, having watched it forensically, as I said, if Hazard had put away any of the first four chances that he has in the head in the first 7 minutes, that would have been the game ended. And Hazard has to do that, and Hazard isn't doing that. He's shooting weakly and weedily, or emphatically, and it going over the bar, and he's just not hitting the target properly. And not that they're dependent on him. He is the star player, and he should be scoring. If he gets into a position where he can hit the target, he should be putting it away. He's that good. And for 55 minutes, they were completely all over them. And I think that Sarri's system still works. Some of them aren't great at it. I think the major problem is this falling apart business that they did after the two goals. Well, I don't think it's as much falling apart. I think what happened, of course, was that the inspired by the Wolves crowd, and also by some slightly dubious refereeing, and the fact that Wolves are suddenly two goals for the better, and they are doing their best to try and keep that fact that they haven't won for six games. It's difficult to come back from that. And once again, if your centre forward, both centre forwards aren't scoring or looking as if they're going to score, and your best player isn't scoring, where are the goals going to come from? Well, obviously Loftus-Cheek, you hope. Newly discovered saviour. Willian appears to be, I'm normally a great fan of Willian, but he is slightly missing. He has, apart from a great free kick that he took and he almost scored from, and I don't quite understand why his energy isn't there, because he can be a complete match winner. But he's not the disaster that Twitter would have us believe, and neither are the rest of the team a disaster. Because there they are, just I'm not convinced that Christensen is a better player than Luiz. Dave is having not one of the best seasons, but he's still a terrific player. In fact, we were talking about it before we came on air, but both Luiz and Dave have just been given contracts, so perhaps they are waiting for Sarri to be sacked they come in.
The stats were very interesting. Wolves having 6 shots, 2 on target, compared to Chelsea 17.
Indeed, indeed, that's my point.
And three. And that's the possession.
Point. The possession, unbelievable. Chelsea, this Sarismo, Sarri ball, as it's supposedly called, is it works. He's just, I'm not convinced they can all play it properly. His big thing, as he said in the press conference, as Liam Toomey said, is they lose concentration with it. They don't quite do the pressing. And you can see it. And I watch them and think, they've now lost this, but they're not performing as they're supposed to. Yet, till Wolves scored, they were just completely in control of the game. So to dismiss this way that he plays as being never working and needs a plan B, he doesn't need a plan B. They just need to be absolutely working better on the plan A. And I'll keep repeating this. If you look at Napoli as the example of what Sarri achieved, they are terrific. And if it means he has to get different players come Christmas, I hope the board back him, because I think he's absolutely got what will ultimately, it'll be a great team. And but it may not be that team necessarily. It may have other players with it. But it's the same season, the same thing that Guardiola had in his first season, which it's got to make it work. And they obviously don't have the ability to attract the same players as Man City, because they don't have not funded by a country. But nonetheless, if he can turn some of the players into his players, he's having a jolly good go at it. If some of them don't ever achieve that, then they have to be binned. I'm sorry, that's the way it is. But at the moment, to me, if you're playing with two strikers who don't score, And don't look as if they're going to score. Well, that's and your best player not scoring. He hasn't scored for 10 games, as he hazard. That's where the major problem is. And the two goals they scored, one initially was a mistake by Christensen, who didn't look up and just passed the ball. And then Willian was short-arm jabbed in the throat, and the referee, Moss, didn't give it. And apparently they're talking about Morata should have been a penalty. I didn't think it should have been a penalty. I think Morata should have scored. I can't believe that he missed that tap-in. And the second goal, Rudiger went to sleep, allowing the guy to score at the far post. And also, what's his face? Kepa shouldn't have let the ball under his body. But apart from that,
you're really happy.
I was happy. No. But I also thought that the dark arts that were then applied after they went 2-1 up, yeah, which is,
why
as you would
not?
Expect.
Why not?
I know. Yeah. But everybody said, well, then we didn't have any character and we didn't know what to do. No, it's really difficult when the referee is slightly influenced by the crowd, John Moss.
Who is the worst referee in the Premier League. Certainly the fattest.
Yeah, indeed he is. He's the unfittest. And
even if he was the drummer for Culture Club, there's no excuse for letting yourself get out of shape like that, John.
Didn't he go out with Boy George?
Allegedly.
Did he?
Yeah. Not the referee, John Moss.
Did you know? Did you know, and not a lot of people know this, that John Moss was actually, I think, I either auditioned for The Clash or he might have been the Clash drummer for a very, very short period.
Blimey.
There you go. Knowledge.
God, it doesn't matter to you. You can be a punk icon.
At this point, I would like to say, rest in peace, Pete Shelley.
Buzzcocks.
Who sadly died last night.
Have you ever fallen in love with someone you shouldn't have
all
fallen
the time,
in love
mate.
With?
It's an occupational hazard for me.
Yeah.
It's an occupational hazard, JK.
Not me.
Being a Z-list celebrity
and all. Aren't you minus Z?
Don't tell everybody that.
I'm sorry.
I was hoping I'd be promoted to Zed, the full Zed. The full, Zed is dead, baby. We could go like this for hours, couldn't we? We could not talk
we
about
could,
football.
Baby, we could
just come out
talk about football.
Where
we
were we
talk
before
about
I rudely
interrupted? Well, I was about to say that, so I don't have a complete down on all the players and the club.
Okay.
And I think we're still on track.
I mean, I feel at a slight disadvantage because, it wasn't on the telly. I wasn't at Wolves on Wednesday night, yada, 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 yada. So I've only seen the highlights. And
Do you not have Chelsea TV?
Well, I forget that it's on.
It's always on at midnight.
I know, I'm a bit of a plum and I kind of went to bed and didn't. Do you know what the stupid thing was? I actually stayed up to 12:30 to watch the 30-minute highlights on Sky.
Yes.
And I could have gone upstairs and watched it on Chelsea. I know, what an idiot. Anyway, note to self.
I had a mare.
I've had a bit of a mare, but the impression, look, I go a lot. I mean, there's a lot of people we know at Chelsea, and a lot of them are not the kind of Berks you get on Twitter just melting down. These people have been around a long time seen it all. But I was talking to a mate of mine who was there last night, and he said pretty much what you said. We were all right for the first half. We had 17 attempts on goal, and we didn't, we only score once, so we know that there's a problem up front. But he said that when Wolves scored, we were like a balloon that had been popped. He said they just were so deflated and they kind of fell apart a bit. So these are people that were there, so they get a very different view than you get on the telly.
Yeah, I didn't quite get that. I just thought that Wolves just, you know, used the dark arts as they normally do in this situation. You daren't in the Premier League go behind to a team at home who will then fall over, kick the ball out a lot, kick it up the pitch, and you have and your main strikers can't score. And that, to me, is the main thing.
But I think there is an issue here, I've got to be honest, because, I mean, can we do this after the break?
Of course.
If you need to break now, but because I think we might get into something which we can't stop, so maybe we...
Let's do that. Let's all have a breather. What a tune.
My only criticism, you know, you and Paddy could have chosen Orgasm Addict. That would have been quite fun.
Are you allowed to say that on the radio?
Oh, I think that's nothing wrong with that.
Organism Addict.
Yes.
There is another one. Which begins with O, and we can't really say the second part. What a band they were.
Very, very quickly, got a couple of tweets in. Clayton. Cleartan Beerman.
No, I don't know. Who's that? Never heard of him.
At Goalie 59 said...
Oh, Cleartan Beerman!
Yeah, said absolute char.
He doesn't agree at all. He said, we all fell apart and it was appalling, he said.
Very quickly, Nick Gussett, who's on the Palace fan show. You know Nick Gussett?
I do, yeah.
He said, can we borrow Ruben back, please? Hashtag CPFC.
No, he's actually looking quite good for us, Nick. Yes. So, no.
He's one of the better players at the moment.
Off, I don't know why I spoke in that kind of Yorkshire accent.
Because they're all from Palace fans.
Most
from
Palace fans are from Yorkshire.
Did you hear about their training ground?
No.
What's happened?
Just a bit of goss, you know, because we like to have a bit of a BT, you know. Yeah, anyway. They've got zero hygiene right now at their training ground with evidence of a mice infestation.
Oh, I did hear about that. Yeah.
Do they train in an old cricket pavilion then? Is that
I don't know, it's down at Beckenham, Copers Cope Lane.
Oh, that would be it then, yes. It's 1902. I played there.
Anyway,
what was I going to talk about?
I don't know. We've got a call.
Okay, that saved me then.
Let's talk to Daniel in San Diego.
Oh, right, brilliant.
How are you, Daniel?
Oh, I'm all right, chaps. Yourselves?
Yeah, not bad.
Lovely to hear from you, Daniel. Lovely to hear from you. How's San Diego?
Classy.
Well, it's back to being nice and, well, apart from classy, but it's back to being nice and sunny versus the 2 days of downpour we had the last couple of days.
Well, we've got downpour now.
All the time. It's miserable. It's cold, windy.
That's why you live there.
No. I'd go to California in a shot, mate, tell you.
No, we live
there. I love San Diego.
We live here for other reasons.
Actually, Dan, we've never asked you this. We might have done. I don't know. If I have, I apologise. But do you drink in the Shakespeare for games or Phileas Fogg's in San Diego?
So I will go to the Shakespeare. It's a tough one in the mornings because a lot of the time I either have to go to work or I just can't handle watching screw it up and then have to be drunk all day. So the Shakespeare, and then there's another place which isn't bad, but it's a Liverpool haunt, which is the Princess Pub in Little Italy. Although I got into it with the bloke who owns that one because it's a Liverpool pub, and when we were hammering them in the Champions League, he asked me to leave at halftime when I think we were up 4-0.
Nice one. I was filming in California, and I went down to San Diego and I watched a game with the boys and girls. I think we played Birmingham in the cup, so actually it might be in the league, but anyway, we played Birmingham and I watched it in Phileas Fogg's with a load of San Diego Blues. I had a great time. They were brilliant, absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, the Shakespeare really is Chelsea FC HQ these days.
Well, Phileas Fogg's is not really in San Diego. It's near Carlsbad, isn't it, I think?
Yeah, it's a bit further afield, as it were. And like I said, it's just rough to drink that early in the morning.
I didn't have any trouble at all, but there you go. Clearly practice. So, Dan, we got you on the phone. What do you want to know? What do you got to say?
You know, I mean, and I heard you know, the press chap. I'm having a blonde moment right now.
Liam.
I don't remember his name from the press conference. From Liam earlier. Yeah, there we go. And what, I can't understand it. Why won't he play Emerson? It doesn't make any sense. Alonso and Seth were really, they were the ones to blame for me on Wednesday night. And I did watch it all, the benefit of living in a country where you can get everything on TV. And they were atrocious. And I mean, I've been on before.
Alonso and Fabregas.
Numerous times. Oh, yeah.
Right.
Very, very much so. I mean, he was an absolute criminal for giving the ball away. Not to mention, just he seems to get slower and slower every day.
Mm. Well, I mean, I the understanding from what Liam told us on the presser is that I think Sarri likes the fact that Alonso is useful in a defensive capacity in the set pieces, so corners, free kicks. He's quite tall, he's good in the air, so I think he has a mind to keep him in the side because of that. But, you know, I mean, I know he's good at the other end too. He's a great free kick taker and he's got a great shot on him, but the fact of the matter is he's in poor form. And I, what I don't understand, Dan, was that there was talk, as Liam was saying actually, that he was carrying an injury into that Wolves game, and he's clearly played quite a few games, although Sarri seems to think he's not tired. It's mysterious. I mean, Emerson looked good to me when we played against Pauk the other week, and is coming into his own. And I it's classic kind of Italian manager style, isn't it? I mean, we had this with Conte as well, and actually to a degree we had it with Mourinho. They find, you know, 11 to 14 players that they decide they like, and they don't bother with the rest of the squad. And I heard somebody, I can't remember if I read it or heard somebody talking today, but actually it was a former player of Sarri's at Napoli, and he said exactly the same. And then he said what happens is towards the end of the season in March, you know, April, when some of his core team get injured, he brings in the guys who haven't played at all, and they haven't played, and they're on a hiding to nothing, and they're worse than useless because they've just not had any game time. So I wonder if that's going to happen with us. I mean, I know he's mixed it up a little bit with the Europa Cup and stuff, but you do wonder.
I don't think you've had the same number of fixtures coming so quickly,
yeah.
So that this may be forced upon him, so it might be a change. Yeah. But once again, I can only think that I didn't think Emerson played wonderfully well against Park.
Well, I think he was less poor than he normally is. Then,
yes,
that
yes, that sounds very good. That sounds a way of being. So, and in fact, but once again, I can only go back on it if he's not convincing in training, what do you do? And it, as Liam was saying, if Alonso's being chosen because he's bigger and he thinks they're much the same standard of player, well, we won't see Emerson getting a go. But I actually think he will get a go, and I think more and more people will get a go over the next few weeks because of the intense number of fixtures coming up. So
yeah,
it's definitely a tough one when you watch it, how many times Alonso gets caught upfield. And look, I'm not here to slate him. I actually rate him very highly. But he gets caught so many times at the wrong end of the pitch, which is one of the biggest reasons David Luiz gets exposed for us at the back, because neither of them are particularly fast. You know, not to, and then when you put on top of that, you get Hazard, who's not being asked to track back. So when that triumvirate of Kovacic, Hazard, and then Alonso get caught upfield trying to play a nice, pretty triangle, at it around the halfway point, or maybe into the first third stage of the, you know, the opposition part of the pitch, ultimately it creates this gulf of space which allows everyone to plow through, and we immediately look exposed. Then you get the trolls out who break their knives out concordantly for, you know, the back four, blaming Rudiger and David Luiz. When, I mean, I don't hold him at par nor at fault for a large amount of what he's actually been culpable of letting in, because he's been basically abandoned by everyone else going off on a wander up the pitch on the left side.
Brilliant stuff, Daniel. Thank you so much for joining us this evening. We're going to have to leave it because we've got to go to a break. Daniel in Sweden, we will be with you right after a short pause. Don't forget, we'll have updates of West Brom versus Aston Villa as well.
It's all in the name. Love Sport Radio. This is Love Sport.
Just some polite in-house sort of notices to everyone who's listening out there. In fact, Stanford Chidge, I'm going to let you know the polite in-house notices.
What polite in-house?
The rules.
What rules?
No petting in the shallow end.
No petting in the shallow end.
And the quiz is coming up.
Quiz is yeah. As last week, we liked this quiz. And I'm not very imaginative, so I kind of just adapted it, as I always do. But this week, it's who has played for both Chelsea and Man City. I've found 11 today, and I'd love it if you could find more than that. So if you know, or if you've got a few suggestions, give us a ring, 0208 70 20 558, or tweet us at Chelsea Fancast or at LoveSport Radio. And we've already had one, Aaron. We've got one suggestion from Sadiq Ralph, or at Sadiq Ralph, and he says Lampard, which of course would be correct. But there are another 10 more to go.
There are.
Answer at the end of the show.
On the way. Let's talk to Daniel. He is in Sweden. How are you, Daniel?
Not too bad, guys. How are you?
Hi, Daniel. How are you, mate? You're right.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Great stuff. Thank you so much for doing this show, guys. You're absolutely amazing. Chief, you're a legend. Thank you very much.
I don't know about that.
You should know.
Checks in the post, Daniel.
Cheers, lads.
How much have you paid him, by the way?
JK, you're right too. Don't be.
Oh, upset. Phew! Come thank on. You. I was. I felt, you know. Oh God, I'm way down. I'm way down the pecking order.
Churchill as well.
Brilliant.
I mean, her stuff on the internet is absolutely amazing as well. So,
brilliant.
All right, there you go.
Great stuff.
You
thanks,
know
mate.
That we're often talking about the impact you guys have on the Chelsea supporters around the world.
Yeah.
But we're often talking about the English-speaking countries, and you're reading out emails from the United States and from Australia. You should know that you got a large impact on us as well in Scandinavia.
Well, send us some mails. Send us some mails, Daniel. I'll read them out.
Yeah, we'll do that now. I called in today, at least.
That's great. You're ahead of many people from Mixlr. Yeah, well done. Brilliant. No, we love
there
it.
We
love it. All for anything around the world is great. But yeah, wonderful.
Although there is,
I'll
say one thing, Daniel. And this is what when we found you were on the line, I was saying to Jonathan off air that we love the Swedes actually, because I've met a load of you guys when you come over for games.
Because
you come over for games quite a lot, and I've often had a few drinks. I mean, I saw Freddie and Jens last weekend before the Fulham match, and I used to know Oscar quite well. He used to run the supporters group out there, and Harry Hemmy.
Of course.
So, you know, I think
we're all friends, so I'm part of that.
I thought you might be.
That group, we're Platinum members, and, you know, we travel at least a couple of times a year. I've never met you in person, Chich, but I'd love to do it one day.
We will have a beer, mate. So, no fear about that.
Definitely.
Count on it.
Yeah. We're all friends, aren't we? Well, let's go right into it. But guys, most of the times I do agree with you, and 99% of the times I definitely agree with you. But on one,
however,
subject,
there's a butt coming, isn't there? There's a butt coming. I can feel it.
Yep, there you go. Yep, something's coming up. You've been praising Kepa a lot this season, haven't you? And last show you talked about him, you know, compared him with the greats of Kudicinis and Czechs and, you know, Courtois. Obviously, you know, we know what we think about Courtois these days, but we can't, you know, look away from the fact that he was brilliant for us, you know, for a couple of years at least. He's, you know, conceding goals on a regular basis now in Madrid, but, you know, for us he was really good. I don't really see Kepa, being compared with them right yet. And, you know, look at the goals he's been conceding. You know, he's conceded this season against Arsenal. At least he should have saved at least one of them goals there. The Liverpool game, Danny Sturridge is basically standing still when he's shooting. The shot is, you know, without pace, without power. It's in the 95th minute. And, you know, a tall goalkeeper would have got that one. In the Man United game, the Mata shot, I can't believe he cannot put that ball just, you know, on the other side of the post. Instead, it bounces out right into a Manchester United player. He crosses it in. Kepa is nowhere near it again. He's nowhere near any cross, to be honest. He doesn't dominate the penalty area the way, you know, Courtois did. And against Tottenham, let's be fair, guys, you know, come on. there's two goals. The Dele Alli header's going straight through him.
And then I know you're going to mention the Wolves one too, aren't you, Daniel?
And yeah. Well, I was about to wrap it up with the Wolves one. Yeah,
Daniel,
definitely. He's to blame for that. Look how many points he's cost us. You know, don't get me wrong. Well, I like the bloke. I think he's a good bloke. I think he's a decent goalkeeper as well. But he's not top class.
Daniel, I don't know. I mean, let's be fair for a second. The jury,
Clayton likes him.
The jury may well be out. He is young, but I'm not entirely sure that he's lost us too many points. But do you know what? This will make you laugh, I promise you. But the minute that I saw the highlights and I saw that first Wolves goal go in, which I think was definitely a goalkeeper error, there's no hiding that. I sat there and thought to myself, I've hexed him, haven't I? Because I was so effusive with my praise for him on Monday, and I thought, that's so typical.
Yep.
He's gone and made an absolute horlicks of that. So there you go. I think it's a fair point, but the reality is, Daniel, you and I both know it. Keepers will make mistakes. They are going to let goals in occasionally, aren't they?
But
he's also,
hang on a minute, he's
also kept us in a few games. I mean, he kept us in the game last weekend against Fulham with some cracking saves. So it does tend to even out.
With one cracking save, the ball went straight to him. It was right on him. He made a meal out of that one. I don't agree with you there, you know.
You're a harsh man,
Daniel. With a corset in his belly. That's no... It's simply because he's short and he makes them saves look spectacular. No, I'm not buying that one. No, definitely not.
I wish I was as short as him.
maybe, Daniel. You know, we've seen keepers come from La Liga, and obviously I'm going to pull out, you know, David De Gea. Maybe he needs to get in the gym. He needs to bulk up a bit.
Or get on those protein machines.
Hang upside down from the bar like a bat, and then he might grow a bit.
Like
in an old gymnasium.
Him off, you know, for all eternity. He'll probably get there, and I really hope he will. Yeah. And don't get me wrong, he's a really nice bloke, you know.
I'm a nice bloke and I don't play for Chelsea, so I mean, you know.
Well, there you go. And I really, but I'm not in goal. We cannot hide from the fact that he's actually cost us a couple of points this year. And we're speaking about, you know, we're playing without a striker. Well, basically, we were playing with 10 men last game.
Yep.
And I'm so fed up with Morata his bollocks, you know, running around crying all the time with his head under his arm. I don't know what he's doing.
I agree with you about Morata.
Me too.
We're actually playing with a weak goalkeeper as well. That's at least my opinion.
Mm.
And a team that wants to challenge for the titles, you know, the big titles, we cannot be, you know, that not competitive in those two areas.
Well, Daniel, I agree with you. I mean, you can sum that up perfectly. You know, to win the title or trophies, you need a striker who's going to score you 20-plus goals a season, and you need a keeper who's going to earn you 10 to 15 points a season. Because I always remember what JT said when Cech went to Arsenal, and he said that Cech will make a 10 to 15-point difference to Arsenal. I don't know whether it was true, whether that actually worked out, but I know that when Cech was with us, he would earn us a good 10 to 15 points by keeping us in some games. You know, so that's
definitely
what you've got to do, isn't it? And I agree with you to an extent. I don't think Kepa's there yet, but I like what I've seen so far, and I'm prepared to accept that he is, as a young player, going to make a few ricks. But mate, you're entitled to your opinion, and that's what you believe, so go for it.
Daniel, thank you so much for joining us this evening, pal. It's been an absolute pleasure having you on the
show.
Cheers, with us. Do give
thank
us
you,
a
mate.
Call again, wherever you are listening to this in the world as well. We welcome you.
Love it.
Here at the shed. Come to the shed and we welcome you.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
There you
yes.
go. Come
yes.
come to Love Sport and we will welcome you. That's the one. 0208 70 20 558 is the number to call.
Wear
this
your blue.
Evening. John Terry and Dean Smith are of course the managerial duo at Aston Villa. They are at the Hawthorns this evening where they take on West Bromwich Albion in a Midlands derby. This evening we've got plenty on the way. We're going to be looking ahead to the game against City.
What talking, we got coming up next?
Talking a bit about Fulham as well.
Who we got coming up next?
Oh,
Ryan.
Well, we're doing Carefree in the USA.
We've got a guest in the studio from North Carolina.
I know, it's brilliant.
It's massive.
Ryan Dellinger's in the building.
That's right.
There you go. We're going to have him right up after your news. Plenty on the way this evening on Love Sport Radio with your Chelsea fan guys. Plus, don't forget, Chidge, it's time to plug the quiz.
Oh, yeah. Well, they're coming in. The answers are coming
flying
in thick and fast.
Flying.
I will just say Greenaway's clearly gone to the same website, or at Greenaway56. He's gone to the same website as me.
So it's, I think it's kind of cheating, but I love him, so I'll include that. But there are all sorts of different answers that I didn't have, which is exactly what I wanted. So that's great. It's going well.
We've had a reply from our Palace listening fan, Nick Gussett, who said, can we have Emerson then? Yeah.
I said yes.
Yeah. That's a good little deal. That's a good... JK, you happy with that?
Yes.
Yeah, and it's... Who has played for Chelsea and Man City? I found 11. There are more out there. We want us to tell us at Chelsea Fancast, at Love Sport Radio, or phone us up 0208 7020 558.
That's very well done there by Stanford Chich.
Love Sport. Available on Radio Player and TuneIn Radio for your smartphone. Download now from the App Store and Google Play.
Get involved with the quiz, 0208 70 20 558, at Love Sport Radio on Twitter or at Chelsea Fancast. Can you name players who have played for both Chelsea and Manchester City? Do it. Get involved with it. Plenty on the way. We are going to be talking to Ryan Dellinger. He is carefree in the USA. He's in the building with us tonight. Absolutely, you know, pleasure to have him with us. Talking Chelsea, Man City. Talking Chelsea, Fulham. Plus, got the opposition view just after 8:30 as well. It's Love Sport Ready.
Cheech.
JK, in all the years you've been following Chelsea, you hardly ever miss a match, home or away. But how would you feel if you couldn't be there, and it's not on TV?
Oh, Chich, I'd be bereft, inconsolable. The thought of missing my beloved Blue Boys live, it's all too much.
I know, JK, I know. It's all a bit too much, isn't it?
Yes.
Well, panic not. NordVPN have come to the rescue.
They have?
Yep, NordVPN allows us to watch any match, even if it's not on live TV here.
They do?
Yeah, they do. With just one click, they switch your virtual location to a country which is showing the match, and they act as your cyber bodyguard whilst online, protecting your personal data and sensitive info like card details and passwords.
Oh, wow, great! But yeah, I bet that'll cost me a fortune.
Actually, JK, it's only the price of a cup of coffee per month, and you can use your account across 6 devices. It's a bargain, JK, and best of all, no more tears for you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, NordVPN. I'm so happy. I could cry. Where do I sign up, Ginge?
Well, to get the best discount off your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/Chelsea Fancast. There's no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee, and you'll help support the Chelsea Fancast. The link is in the podcast episode description box. Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
558 AM DAB online.
The pensioners are back, but with no walking sticks in sight. They're carefree, wherever they may be. They're the famous CFC. Blue is their colour, and football is their game. If you come to Stamford Bridge, you'll remember their name. It's the Chelsea Fancast on Love Sport.
We're gonna make this a blue day.
It's Love Sport Radio. Good evening with your Chelsea fan, guys. What a tune that is.
You know, Jonathan thinks he gets more royalties if he sings that every week. It's
I've
not
never
true,
got
Jonathan.
A penny
it's
out
not
of it.
True.
I've never got a penny out of it.
Do you know what? Speaking of royalties, this is so off topic of the time. I read an article today, a piece. In fact, yeah, it was a piece on a certain, you know, like a music streaming service and how they're literally just hemorrhaging money because...
Does it begin with S?
Yes.
Oh, no, that's what I'm up on.
Yeah.
And the podcast is on there, too.
Yeah, but you've got other podcast providers as well.
Yes, true.
But they are literally like, they've never made a profit.
I haven't bought
profit.
Any records for years because I use that now.
But you know, like when they pay like a record, they have to pay like 0.00002 pence to the artist. And obviously, cumulatively, when you add it all up, they're paying on average like... you know, $75 or something like that to an artist on average every year, and they are literally just like shipping money.
Yeah.
But why aren't they making any money? With no advertising
because
what's the way they do make money?
They have advertising, but then they have subscriptions. But then
but people I pay 10 quid a month.
People are using the service so much, and they're using obviously specific artists, and they're just feeding out on royalties.
Oh, so the
wowzers.
Business plan isn't working, I see.
Yes, yeah, that's exactly what it is. We're sort of like turning things around. This is an interesting
feature. Can I explain
feature.
This?
Hand over to you.
Okay, well, that's only because I don't want to lose the significance of this because this has never happened. Well, it has actually because we used to do this a lot. When we were in Putney, we quite often would, it'd be open house and we'd all do it in a pub and quite often we had American listeners and friends and they would just turn up and we would have them on what we used to call the benches. So they would like sit at the, you know, away from us and heckle and throw celery at us and things like that. But it's the first time we've had a chance to do this here. And we've got Ryan Dellinger with us, who I've known because he's listened to the shows for years. And, you know, we've been in touch and I've met him when he's come over here in the past for drinks. And he tweeted me earlier this week and said, "Chidge, I'm here for the game this weekend." And I said, "Great, come and watch the show and I'll try and get you on it." He said, "Great." And he flew in today. And I just the first time it's happened, and I'm really chuffed and excited, Jonathan.
Hooray!
I'm really chuffed and excited. So, Ryan, how are you?
I'm doing well, Chidge. Thanks for having me.
No, it's great to have you here. Now, we thought we'd kind of like dedicate this little part to you because I think it kind of exemplifies the relationship we have with some of our listeners from overseas. And it's like a live email in a sense. That's kind of what I thought. So, you know, how did you first become a Chelsea supporter?
Do I read this?
No. Okay. You can if you want. You can. Okay. I will allow you to ask Ryan questions.
No. Can I?
Of course.
Can I translate?
Ryan? No, you don't need to do that.
Oh, okay.
And we haven't got enough time, mate.
Oh, okay.
You know.
Okay.
We're limited.
Thank you.
You know we are. Anyway, Ryan, how did you first become a Chelsea?
Yeah, I think it's a good story, Chidge. So basically, back in the 2007-08 season, my daughter started playing football in the States, and I was like, well, I need to understand more about the game. And decided to be a coach. So I actually coached the team. So I went out and got a couple.
You available on Saturday?
No.
Shame.
Let's keep sorry around a little bit longer. So basically, I went out and got some coaching license, equivalent to like coaching badges here. And I figured, well, if Imanalo could do it, then maybe I could do it as well, right?
Yeah.
So I decided to start watching more and learning more about it. And I had a couple of mates from Burrow that were also coaching. So they were giving me some insights about coaching tips and skills. So one of the first Chelsea matches I watched was the Champions League final.
In Moscow?
Yes.
About the third podcast we did covered the final.
Yep,
you might remember that.
Yeah, so basically my becoming a Chelsea supporter and also discovering the podcast happened around the same time.
Wow.
But at the time I watched the match, I really was a neutral.
Yeah.
And, of course, we know what happened in the match with JT.
Yes.
And it was really the aftermath of the match.
Aaron's grinning from ear to ear.
Yeah, I see him. it was the aftermath of the match and the passion that I saw mainly from JT and in the way the club responded.
Yeah.
And it just set it apart.
Yeah.
To me, it was a little bit different. And also, today is JT's birthday.
Yes, it is indeed. Happy birthday, JT.
Yep.
Great leader and legend.
So, since then, it's been loyal Chelsea all the way. Chelsea in America, following that supporters club as much as I can.
Yeah. So, is there a chapter in North Carolina?
There is. There's the Carolina Blues. There's also the Southeast Blues as well.
Right.
And then, of course, Beth is always available on Twitter if you need anything, reach out to her.
Yeah, that's right. The Queen of CIA.
So have you increased your badges? Have you just kept going with that? No, you haven't.
No, so unfortunately my daughter got injured a few years ago, so she's not able to play anymore.
Right, right.
But ultimately you get to a certain age and you can't teach him anything anyway.
Yeah.
I think kiddo's now thinking of doing his badges for when his
for my daughter. Yeah, she's 9 and she's playing football for the first time next term at school. And she's already going, I don't want to play. And that when she was about 4, I took her out to play to try and, you know, get her into the mood of playing. And all she did was kick me. And I said, absolutely perfect. I said,
yeah. I've been secretly coaching her, mate.
Is that all you have, have you? You've been...
That's about all I can coach, how to kick people.
But she gets
I was good at that. Rubbish at football.
I'm intrigued to see what will happen. Chopper Kid, I think she'll be called.
Send her to Chopper. You know, he's in the Fimber on after the match.
Is he?
You know, yeah, definitely. So, what I was going to say, we were talking about, I was having a chat to Dan in San Diego. Do you get to watch matches in a pub over there, or do you watch them at home?
Yeah, most of them are at home because they're on early. There are a couple pubs. We live out in Raleigh, so there's a pub called the London Bridge downtown. You can go check out some matches. Unfortunately, it's mainly a Liverpool pub, but yeah. But a lot of matches at home, Champions League matches, we're able to slip out of work, maybe slide down to a local pub and catch an afternoon match.
So why is it a Liverpool pub when they're so starved of success? Why is it? Is it they're all hoping? Is it a hoping pub?
Must be the history.
Oh, it must be the history, yeah.
Love it. I mean, this is another thing, because, I mean, Jonathan goes potty about this every Monday when we get these emails from all over the world, really. And he looks at me and says, Chidge, I can't believe this. What's going on? You know, but there's clearly, I mean, and I'm aware of this too, there's a great relationship that we've always had with, particularly, I think, a lot of the overseas listeners. So in that vein, Ryan, what is it that you like about the show? What drew you to the show? Because we don't understand. We think you're all mad.
Actually, I really think it was, at first, of course, it was I wanted to understand more about the club. Mm. And I think the show has been very good at teaching, you know, Americans the history of Chelsea. And there's a lot of history there. Mm. The accessibility, obviously, I'm sitting here. It's pretty accessible.
Yeah.
Stateside, I've had a chance to meet Canners. Over in Charlotte at a match, Bobby Tamling, Mario.
Oh, brilliant.
Yeah, so it just, it to me, it's now has transcended beyond a football, and it's more like a
community.
It is a community.
Is it also that there's more jeopardy than American football because there's relegation? And you think it's an element of that? There is so you have to improve every year, and or you have to keep a standard in order to stay in the division,
right?
Which you don't need to have in the NFL, do you?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not much on the NFL these days. I mean, I think they've got their own set of issues off the field that I don't really appreciate. But obviously, they're trying to bring the NFL over here. I think Spurs can speak.
They're going to turn Spurs into an NFL
exactly,
team, actually,
exactly.
I've heard this. I've got sources that have told me this, that Spurs will no longer exist as an association football club. They'll be an NFL club. They're being franchised out. Remember where you heard it first.
A multi-sport club.
Remember where you heard it first.
So what, they'll be playing in Scotland?
No, they're playing in
America.
White Hart Lane into an NFL.
Yeah, but I wondered if the club would then be the team itself,
then
could then take place.
Or
in,
further,
they could be all round.
How about
Dublin?
How about Rockall?
Yeah.
with
the Puffins.
They won Rockall, let's face it.
The Puffins playing black and white.
Right,
very good.
One more question.
Paddy, can we have one more question? We've got a call.
Yeah, okay. Well, we can have one more question then. Quickly. You've been over here before, haven't you? Because I met you in 2015.
Yep, so first match was Stoke 1-0 Chelsea, Ashley Cole, late winner.
Oh, yeah.
And then second match was a Liverpool Guard of Honor match, which I want to say ended up in a draw, but thoroughly enjoyed the Guard of Honor.
Oh, yeah,
tomorrow's the third match.
It's a third match. Brilliant stuff.
Brilliant.
Excellent. We're going to have a drink with you after the show, but I'll certainly have a drink with you tomorrow in the Cock Run. I'm looking forward to that.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much for joining us this evening. There he is, Ryan Dillinger. Carefree in the USA.
That's my title for him. I
think it's a great little section. I think it's a good little feature. Yannick, stick around. We're going to be with you next.
558 AM. Love Sport.
It's turned into like a cabaret lounge singer. Villa have gone 1-0 up. Ahmed Hegazi with an own goal, and he looked absolutely devastated. Let's go to the phone lines. Yannick is on the line. Who's on the line?
Yannick. Ow.
Hello.
Get down.
How are you, Yannick?
Get down, JK. I'm loving it, mate.
Not Weird Al, Yannick.
That's the intro I always expect now whenever I
expect to hear that on your podcast from now on, actually.
Yeah, that's it, mate. Yeah,
a JK intro. How are you, mate? You all right?
I'm very well, Chid. How are you, mate?
I'm good. I enjoyed going on your podcast this week. Have I managed to lose you all of your listeners by doing so?
Yes, unfortunately, it's folded ever since.
That was my plan.
What a great reception.
Excellent.
I had some positive messages, mate. So
good.
Thank you very much for coming on. We had a great chat.
Yes, we did. I enjoyed it thoroughly, mate. Anytime.
Brilliant. Cool. So, I've noticed on Love Sport, you guys have been talking about the Fulham fans, I think. Is that correct?
Yeah. Certainly this week we have.
Well, just pick up on that quickly. My old flatmate is a Fulham fan, and he's very much, as previously one would expect a Fulham fan, is like a very sort of light-hearted, happy-go-lucky chap who enjoys football and isn't too sort of overly partisan or tribal. So when I explained to him about this, about the chanting and the sort of atmosphere, he was quite shocked to hear it. He's been down to the cottage quite a few times, so it's almost like, for me, it has sort of been a recent manifestation. But it's kind of a strange thing, because there was that sort of hostility. I don't know, I didn't get a chance to hear the show up to here, so I don't know if you've done that to death or not yet.
Well, no, not really. I mean, we certainly had a ding-dong about it on Monday night, because I have this weird theory, Yannick, and the weird theory is, I mean, I'm not going to lie, I hate to say this, but I was impressed by Fulham's turnout last Sunday.
Yeah.
They packed it out. They were very loud. I think they did out-sing us, and I'm ashamed to say that, but they did. But what intrigued me most of all was the number of youngsters there. There were a lot of them in their 20s. And what occurred to me was, you know, with my work on the Supporters Trust, one of my great hobby horses is the need to reduce the ticket prices for young people, so anybody between the age of 16 and 25, because I fear... that we have disenfranchised an entire generation of supporters at Chelsea, the way it's gone. Half of it's my fault directly, because there are a lot of people my age there who won't go. Why should they, you ask? And the club have found it very difficult to try and get youngsters in. But, of course, one of the ways they could do that is to, A, reduce the prices for youngsters properly, not like they have, and also allow them to stand or sit together rather than being in the children's or stroke family stand. So I was thinking, Yannick, that if I'm a 15, 16, 17, 18-year-old lad who's grown up locally, you know, and I'm choosing who I might want to go and watch to play football, I think whereby maybe 10, 15, 20 years ago they would have gravitated absolutely towards Chelsea and got in, now they can't, so they go to Fulham or they go to Brentford and they pay a lot less. They can go and be with their mates. They can have the crack that you want to have at a football match when you're that age, and on it goes. And that's what it felt like to me when they turned up last Sunday.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. I do remember you, hearing you say that, and I sort of reflected on it. It makes a lot of sense.
The trouble is they don't have any success. That I'm not convinced that any of them are madly keen to pursue it if it's just done on hope. And nor did I
when I was coming to see Chelsea at the same age.
Yeah, that's true.
I went for the crack.
JK. That's true.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's what these lads are doing, because remember it's sort of more entitled, Chelsea fans, football fans are like, they're almost more inclined to get a bit more miffed off or, you know, a bit stressed out that you don't have this flawless performance. Whereas if you do go to support a team that you don't have these high expectations, you could be a bit more about the banter and the singing regardless of what's going on the pitch.
I actually think they deliberately turned up in order to be that completely negative, because they don't have a huge away base that goes and watches all these games. And every single song that they sang was anti-Chelsea. There was nothing pro-Fulham, which really annoyed me.
Just a very quick interjection, because I was talking to one of the lads who works here, and he's on the Fulhamish podcast, and I was talking to him about this, Yannick, and he was saying that their away support has changed dramatically since they were relegated. And in fact, when they got relegated, what happened was the club reduced the ticket prices drastically, and it's actually attracted, my theory, playing out, basically. It's attracted a load of the youngsters in. And, of course, like I did when I was their age, you know, when Chelsea were yo-yoing between Division 1 and Division 2, you went for the crack. You certainly didn't go for the football. And it seems that that's what these young lads are attracted to, and I don't blame them. They're, you know, I was their age once, and I remember what it was like.
But I do think this opportunity to sing completely negative songs about your neighbours was something they were attracted to.
I always did that as a
kid. When you went to Fulham?
No, well, no, because we didn't really care even then. But, I mean, you know, Chelsea supporters have legendarily been horrible to everybody else and never, ever missed an opportunity to do so and dig people out.
Not where I sit.
Yeah, but that's because you'd sit with a load of middle-class, middle-aged people. I'm talking about 18 to 25.
When I was that age, even I didn't do
that. Yeah, but as you informed me earlier on, you were posh, so you wouldn't do things like
exactly.
that.
Exactly. I'm very posh.
That's a private joke, Yannick. I'll tell you next time we'll see you.
Right, okay. All right, no worries. Can I ask you guys a couple of questions?
Yeah.
So obviously we had that dismal result against Wolves. Great, you know, first half was a good performance, and then as Sarri sort of stated, there was a sort of a capitulation, and we started playing like individuals. You know, all the sort of default messages from the manager. That did make a lot of sense. Do you think it would be? I know you gentlemen are of the inclination to say it would be typical Chelsea. I can't remember who said glorious unpredictability.
Marco.
Yeah, Marco who said it.
I have to say, Marco stealing something from the 60s, because that's what they were and the 50s. My dad used to describe them as that as well. My dad watched in the 50s.
Yeah, okay, well, there you go. I mean, do you think the first team will come back and we can do something against it? I know this is a really basic question, but City, against the last two games they've played, they haven't been completely immaculate because they've had wobbles in the 90 minutes. Do you think we got the players to buck up at home? And you know, I'd be very happy with a score draw, but I know going along with the glorious unpredictability, if you had to sort of pick two ways of it going, would you say like a win or a thrashing, or could you see it being a score draw? I'd like to get your opinions on it.
I could personally see it being all those things, but I think they'll
in the same game.
Yes, I think they'll raise their game. I think that's inevitable because they're playing the top team. It's a question of whether they score because of their constant ability in pressing. If they score a couple of quick good goals, whether their heads go down, which appears to be what's happening at the moment, because they then abandon his whole structure of his plan, don't they? Which
you're
is what
right,
they did against
Dick,
Wolves. I'm still an immense Sarri fan. It just requires huge concentration and application. But I really think they will raise their game. Anything could happen tomorrow. I just think they're much, much better. That's the problem. And they're much more drilled than we are. So the chances are that they will win. I don't think easily. I think they'll win 2-0. But I still think they'll win.
Can I just pick up on something that you said, Jake, really quickly about our heads dropping? Surely the pedigree of these players, of Chelsea, I don't want to say Chelsea as a club, but certainly these players who've won titles, can we expect the heads to drop?
No, but they shouldn't, but they dropped against Wolves, though, didn't they? Well, not dropped. Perhaps that's the wrong expression. Not that their heads are dropping, is they will cease to try and play his plan. They will lose concentration.
I've got another theory on this. John just reminded me that I was going to talk about this earlier. I don't know. Maybe I'm just a bit, you know, grumpy and curmudgeonly. So I do think that their heads drop a bit, and I don't think there's any leadership or fight, and I don't think there has been for a long time. And we see it when they're losing, particularly, and we have done since Mourinho's first meltdown. But I think there might be something else, and this goes back to a point that I made last week about their, you know, the way that Sarri drills the team and any of his teams, it's so detailed, and I think he overloads these guys with information, and it's like basically trying to play FIFA 11 with real people, you know, in a sense he's trying to move them around the pitch and dictate every move. And I think the problem is that when it goes pear-shaped and goes wrong, they've forgotten how to play football. So what am I supposed to do now? And it all goes out of their head. And I think that's what he means by blackouts, JK.
Yeah, good point.
You know, and they're just rendered hopeless because they don't know what they're supposed to be doing.
Again, you're completely right, but obviously Guardiola is very much in the same mould. I think he is a sort of a detailed manager and a perfectionist. And so, I mean, there's been a lot of comparisons with Guardiola's first season where he just scraped fourth and didn't get a trophy. You know, we could not quite comfortably, but we could get fourth and even get a trophy this season, therefore, you know, having a more successful season than Guardiola's debut season. So, I think maybe that there is it's just a time thing. I think we had a honeymoon period where the players were just excited to be allowed to have the ball so much that, and you know, so conclusion of that was some player expression and some goals. Honeymoon period's ended, and now there's going to be the actual grind to learn the 4-3-3 possession football that is quite similar to Guardiola. But you know, we just don't have the players. But I think, you know, I think you're right, Chidge, because there is no excuse for heads dropping, but maybe they get frazzled. Yeah, like you say, systematically they get a bit confused and then they forget that they can just maybe play, and, you know, they're maybe in those instances that's when Kante drops deep and sweeps up instinctively. But instead of that, like you say, they might get frazzled, and then before you know it, Wolves are scoring a second against you.
There you go. Yannick, thank you so much for joining us this evening.
Thanks, Yannick.
Give us a call this evening if you want to have a chinwag on Chelsea. 0208 70 25. Get involved in the quiz as well. Players to have played for Chelsea and Manchester City.
This is Love Sport.
There's all sorts of tomfoolery going around on social media at the moment. Apparently Paddy's doing a Sudoku. Not really sure what he's up to. Love Sport Radio said snakes and ladders more like.
What is that all about?
I haven't got a clue. I don't know. And, Jonathan Kidd's been talking hospitality because the Crystal Palace fan has offered some mice for Emerson Palmieri, and I did say that Kiddo's butler will poach them and serve them with Rye Vita.
And I've added that with you have to have a grilled swan.
Squirrel.
I said squan. Squan, didn't like
that's a
squirrel.
A hybrid animal.
Sorry, I didn't mean a squan, I meant a heron. You have to have a grilled heron on just with the Rye Vita to make it palatable. Otherwise, it's a bit squeaky, the mouse, otherwise.
We have a goal in the derby at the Hawthorns, and the Boilermen have
scored. The Baggies.
No, it's the Boilermen now.
Are they called the Boilermen
now? No, I just invented that.
You invented that. Was good.
Sponsored by Boilers.
The Throstles.
Yeah, the Throstles have scored. Dwight Gayle with the goal. And Darren Moore does not look like a happy man when he dishes out instructions. But yeah, Dwight Gayle.
Rodriguez is good. I like him. He's a good player.
Jay Rodriguez, he's a very good player.
He was very good at Southampton. What happened to Southampton? Why have they got rid of all their great players? I never understood that.
Do you know what?
New owners.
I just don't care. What are we doing now?
We're going to talk about Chelsea Man City. Should we begin our little mini preview to it?
Yeah. What do you want to know, Aaron?
How's it going to go?
We're going to get thumped. I think we made that abundantly clear.
Well, actually, I didn't say thumped. I said 2-0.
I'm joking.
Oh, are you? Can you go ha, 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 ha afterwards? Yeah. Thank you.
Look, I think, as Yannick was... Yannick teed us up beautifully for that, I think, a minute ago, because the reality is, look, Chelsea have got good players. These are good players.
Good players.
On their day. Hazard, a world-class player on his day.
Yes.
If these guys are 100% on it, play to their potential. They can be anybody. They can be any team in the world. However, I think it also, at the moment, requires, you know, a few City players to have a bit of an off game, but that's possible. My deeper concern with this is the fact that Sarri will not change his tactics. He will play 4-3-3. He will no doubt pick the same team. They will line up the same way, and irrespective of the fact that Man City have got some superb players and huge squad depth, one has to admit that Guardiola is a pretty decent manager. And to think that he's going to turn up and not worry about that or not have a plan to exploit our weaknesses is, you know, criminally naive, I think. I mean, I could be wrong. Maybe it'll all be different on Saturday, but I'm pretty sure I won't be, and that's why I fear that we might lose.
Yeah.
But I still harbour a hope, JK.
Yeah.
I do harbour a hope. On our day, we can beat anybody. On our day, we can beat them. We can beat them tomorrow, and why not?
But no doubt, as you say, he will work out that the ball played into the corner past Alonso will reap havoc, in fact.
What will be interesting, and this is another thing that gives me a little bit of hope, I don't think Guardiola will bother to put two men on Hazard or two men on Jorginho. I think Guardiola will be confident enough of keeping
the
ball.
Quite an open game, yeah.
He'll be confident enough in the City boys to keep the ball. He's not going to bother, like, nullifying Jorginho and Hazard. He's going to say, well, I've got better players, so I don't need to do that.
Yeah, he'll have that conceit for us. But then he might change it if they're one down or even drawing. But it might be good for us
if he does that.
Yeah,
it might open it up.
But also, I think what will happen as well is that Kante will play... there's still press, but he will play nearer to Jorginho just because the threat will be more and he'll be forced to go there more. So actually he'll be playing slightly more defensively. But I still worry that he's... The big thing at the moment is Sarri is saying when he is on his own in the box, he's essentially not doing the system correctly because he's supposed to be there further back to deal with, to press. And the whole team isn't pressing properly. And you can see that it's work in progress.
I agree entirely. I mean, the other thing that worries me is that even though... You know, given what I've just said, they won't put two people on Jorginho, presumably. They won't put two people on Hazard, presumably. They will have the ball a lot. We may well have some of the ball too, perhaps more than we... Well, we always seem to get a lot, to be fair, at the moment. But what I do worry about, JK, is that they are better at keeping the ball than we are. They're technically better, I think, than a lot of our players. And as we saw against Fulham and Wolves, we've had a proclivity in the last few games to give the ball away easily and cheaply, you know, lose the ball... quite a lot. And if we do that against a side like City, they will rip you apart and they will capitalise on it.
There was that horrendous moment in the Fulham game when I counted when the ball pinged eight times between Chelsea and Fulham players and you thought, hang on, this isn't Premier League standard. Yeah. What's going on here?
Well, exactly. If you do that against a side like City, they'll score.
Well, they just get the ball first.
I mean, eight times. Well, they've also got such pace.
It is the pace.
You know, if he's playing Sane and Sterling, I mean, the pace, they've got pace to burn.
Well, that is really what... the difference at the moment between Napoli and Chelsea is the pace of the system.
Not enough.
This isn't. No, it needs to be unbelievably quick.
I don't think the players have enough pace, but they're not moving the ball quickly enough either.
Early on, I think weirdly, I think they were dealing with it better. And it's somehow I think they've as you said, I think they've become slightly self-conscious about the whole system.
Yeah, I agree. I totally agree.
So,
chaps, can we take a pause because we're going to come back with the opposition view?
Lovely.
Love Sport 5:58 AM. The Opposition View on Love Sport.
Yep, time for the Opposition View, and delighted to be joined by David Walker from the Red But Never Red Manchester City blog. David, good to have you on board.
Good evening, gentlemen. How are you?
Yeah, very well, thanks. But you're looking forward to our 3 points this weekend?
Now, that would reek of arrogance. We're not going there. We hope to get 3 points. We possibly expect to get 3 points, but... Having said that,
we don't go in there thinking,
well, that's very nice of you, thank you. No, seriously. I mean, City fans, you know, we are living the dream. We haven't lost for the last 21 Premier League games. We haven't lost for the last 14 away games. We are not infallible. Mm. And the fact is, having said that, we've got to where we are at the moment without arguably our best player, Kevin De Bruyne. There's no Aguero tomorrow, so that's a bonus for you guys.
Yeah, definitely.
And also, there's no Benjamin Mendy, who obviously has been missing, you know, almost permanently since he came here to City with injuries. But never say never. And as I say, a win is what we would like and what we hope for. A draw is not a disaster. But obviously, you know, thankfully at the moment, we're out of the habit of losing.
Yeah, that's interesting to hear, actually, Dave. It's Chidge here. I was just going to say, given that De Bruyne... isn't playing, given that Aguero, who's quite often been a thorn in the side of Chelsea, isn't playing, who should we be most worried about? Because we were talking about Sterling and Sane a minute ago and their pace, which frightens me, but who do you think?
I think you're probably right. You're in the ballpark there with Sterling and Sane, because at the moment they're both on fire. They're playing brilliantly down the flanks, and the way Pep plays it, he likes to keep the full field spread out. That's why they hug the... you know, the bylines. But, I mean, David Silva, he's 33. It's almost impossible to believe, but it's true. He's getting better with age. And then you've got Bernardo Silva, who is, I think he's 9, 10 years younger than David, but he's already shaping up to be, I wouldn't say a successor to David, but he's getting there. He's a tremendously skillful guy. He's very deceptive because he's very will-o'-the-wisp, but he's superb. As I say, we haven't got De Bruyne on the field, which is a big plus for you guys. But from a striking perspective, we would like to see Gabriel Jesus get amongst the goals again. He's been working his heart out recently without getting the breaks. He missed a couple of comparatively easy chances against Watford.
How long has it been since he scored?
Since who scored?
Jesus, since he scored.
Jesus. Yeah. I think he's only scored one Premier League goal this season.
Right, yeah.
He's got a hat-trick against Shakhtar in the Champions League, but that was quite an easy game. But he's doing everything right. He's just not putting the ball in the net. But I remember last season, we didn't have Aguero. We did obviously have De Bruyne because he scored the winner at Stamford Bridge. But Sané, Jesus and Sterling, they were on fire last season, and it was debatable at that point, will Aguero get back in the team? Well, Aguero has established himself as our premier striker. I mean, it was never really in doubt. But Jesus, from a City perspective, let him get a goal, let him get his confidence going, and then he can kick on from there.
Mm. David, kind of reverse from what I just asked you a minute ago, is there anybody in the Chelsea team that worries you at all for tomorrow? Anywhere we can cause you a threat?
Well, the obvious one is Eden Hazard, obviously. It would be a bit rich of me, and again, I don't want to sort of be too clever for my own good. You're not a one-man team,
no.
But if you don't have Eden Hazard, you do lose a lot. Yeah,
definitely.
But the point is, you have got him, and he's always an omnipresent threat. From an opposition perspective, it's a strange one to see Kante effectively being played out of his favoured position. I would imagine you probably share the same sentiments, and it was even stranger that Sarri came out and almost made a public proclamation about it. Because, of course, we were after Jorginho in the summer. He elected to come to you. I have to say, I think there were some strange goings-on with Napoli, but be that as it may, Pep obviously rates Jorginho, otherwise we wouldn't have pursued him, you know, so vigorously, but we lost out. But I think if we can nullify Hazard, then we take a lot of the threat out of Chelsea's play.
But we were saying just before you came on air that I can't see. I mean, basically, there's an issue to be had about whether other teams have worked Chelsea out, and what they've done is they've put a couple of men on Jorginho, which cuts the supply off to Hazard, and as an extra insurance, they'll often put a couple on Hazard too, which has completely stopped us in a sense. I can't see Guardiola doing that. He's going to. I see him saying, "Well, I don't need to do that because our players are better, so I'm just going to play what we play."
I think Pep will set his stall out. It's not very often that he goes out to counter an opponent. It's just not in his DNA. You know, obviously, last 5 minutes against Watford, inexplicably, we were having a wobble. We should have been 5-0 up, but it was 2-1. And Pep put Laporte on as a defender to stem the flow from Watford in the final few minutes. So it's not as if Pep isn't pragmatic. Of course, he can be. But no, I don't think he'll go for that. And it'd be interesting to see if Giroud starts up front for you, because the one thing with Giroud, I don't know, you know, what your opinions of him are, but he has the ability to hold the ball rather than it keep coming straight back.
Yeah, definitely.
And Morata, when you got him last summer, I thought, oh, you know, he could be a good signing, whether or not he'll eventually come good. But with Giroud, you've got a genuine target man who, if he can hold the ball up and bring Hazard into play, then, you know, that's not to say he can't cause us problems.
I hope we do start Giroud, because for exactly that reason, actually, Dave, he can hold the ball up. He seems to link better with Hazard too, and he doesn't get offside every 5 minutes. But having said that, he wasn't that effective against Fulham. So this is what you get with Giroud, I'm afraid. I don't think he's a world-class striker by any means.
I don't think he quite fits into the system either.
Well, I don't think any of them fit into the system. That's the problem, isn't it?
Well, of course, your system has changed completely because, I mean, Pep's a great admirer of Sarri. You know, he's credited with him being an influence on him. And obviously, it's the opposite style of play to Conte's pragmatism and sort of counter-attacking and sort of emphasis on defence. I'm surprised that you've had, obviously, your midweek defeat. That would have been a shock. I was surprised that Tottenham did you in the fashion that they did. And with respect, pleasantly surprised that there's a 10-point gap opened up between us and yourselves.
Yeah, I mean,
which was a surprise.
Well, yeah, possibly. But as Sarri keeps reminding everybody, Uncle Tom, Dick and Harry as well, that there's a 30-point gap between City and Chelsea last year. And he says that's what, you know, he's really concerned with and trying to close that gap a little bit. But I to be really honest, David, I don't think we were ever going to be title challengers this year. I mean, I got a bit excited in about the middle of September thinking we might be. But the reality is, given the amount of changes that are happening at the moment, I thought it was unlikely. Plus, you are getting better. Liverpool are getting better. And there's an argument to be had that Arsenal are also improved from last season. So I thought we were a long way off that. So it's very kind of you to suggest that you were happy that you've got a 10-point gap. But I don't think we were any real threat, to be honest.
Well, you never know. It's a long season, but we're hoping City are going to win it, you know, retain it, because we haven't done that. I don't think anybody's done it since United did it, you know, donkey's yonks ago. And the strange thing with City is that we only bought Riyad Mahrez. We only bought one player last summer. Mm. But with De Bruyne being injured, Mahrez has grown into the side. He's already a Premier League winner and a former player of Footballer of the Year. But he's grown into the team, so he's now looking comfortable, and he's a very skilled player. And he certainly has lessened the blow of De Bruyne being out. But we have to pinch ourselves that, you know, if De Bruyne's back, he's supposed to be back in time for the Everton game next weekend. If he comes back, you know, obviously fit and hits the ground running, then that's like a fresh player as you're going into your fixture congestion, which is it's manna from heaven.
Excellent.
Brilliant stuff. Thank you so much for joining us, David.
Thank you, David.
David's from the Red But Never Red Manchester City blog. Do check it out online. We're going to take a short pause. I'm going to go to the line once again. Do give us a call this evening for the quiz. 0208 70 20 558.
Your news, your views, your voice. Love Sport Radio, your fan station.
The best thing is Chidge and JK having a little argument, and Paddy's just through the glass, doesn't know what's going, just going, okay, guys, let's go. Let's get on the lines.
I said this was the cult, that was all.
I thought you said something else. No wonder I got upset.
Oh, no, I wasn't.
Cool fighters, mate.
John Chips is on the line.
Chips.
Evening, John.
John.
John,
hello, mate. You're right. Have you phoned up to give Jonathan grief for picking the wrong number for the book, the Neil Smith book?
I'm sorry.
Absolutely.
I couldn't help myself.
To be fair, I've forgotten about that. All forgiven. It's all forgiven.
The scab has now been opened up again.
What can we do you for, yeah. John?
I think we're looking at the wrong problems here. I don't think we play too bad. I think we're looking at the wrong players, where the fault is. I honestly think what we're lacking, and this is truly fundamental in my train of thought, we're lacking a striker that can occupy a defence and scare a midfield. You know, we don't have anyone that can occupy their train of thought. We're fine going forward. Honestly, we are fine going forward. We don't have a Drogba, a Costa, someone that scares the living daylights out of people, and it occupies their mind, and it's just so annoying, so frustrating to watch.
John, I mate, you absolutely bang on with that, mate, and I'll tell you for why as well. You're right, because if you've got somebody of the quality and aggravation factor of a Drogba or a Costa, that would actually give Hazard more space to move.
Because they
don't have to worry about Morata. You know what? You wouldn't even have to mark Morata, because you know that when he gets 5 yards away from the goal, he's going to miss anyway. Just leave him on his own.
You're hoping he gets 5 years.
No, he deserves more than that. For life! He needs life! Solitary confinement.
I sentence you to life imprisonment.
No, seriously, you know, that's the
point. Do you hope he gets 5 months, Jonathan?
Would that mean he'd miss the rest of the season, wouldn't it? So, yeah.
Yeah. It's really sad what's happening with him. I think there's a lot of talent there, but I don't think it's going to come out at Chelsea, that's for sure. But go on, mate.
Sorry, Chidge. My point is, though, that the Sarri system I'm fine with.
Me too.
I think there's one cog missing, and I think the system will work if we have the right striker.
Who would you get, John?
Where do you start?
Well, there aren't many around of the calibre we're talking about. That's the worry, isn't it?
True enough. I'm not going to go gung-ho or anything like that, but I also wouldn't necessarily promote someone from the kids just yet.
Yeah, nor would I. Yeah, definitely. Good stuff.
Yeah, we'll have to see what happens going forward. John, we're going to have to leave it there, pal, because we've got so much to run through. It's unreal. I mean, we've got dossiers and dossiers and dossiers. Chidge, where do you want to start?
Well, should we reveal the quiz before we go? Because otherwise we might not get the chance to.
That'd be like...
Right, OK. As you all know, we shouted this out at the top of the show and have been occasionally since then. But basically, a variation of our normal theme, which is who has played for both... Chelsea and Man City. Now, earlier on, I had a quick Google search to see what I could come up with, and I came up with 11 players.
I've got a few in mind.
Right, go on then, Aaron. Off you go.
Nicholas Anelka.
Yes.
Obviously, well, I'm not going to mention the obvious, but Sean White-Phillips.
Yes.
That's probably it.
Okay. Jonathan, any advance on Anelka and Wright-Phillips?
No.
Okay, so, no particular order. Frank Lampard.
Oh, God.
I didn't want to say that one because you...
Okay. Nicholas Anelka, Sean Wright-Phillips, Scott Sinclair.
Wayne Bridge.
Yeah, Wayne Bridge, he's on there. Scott Sinclair. Ten Ben Ayim.
Oh, yeah.
This is your love. George Weah.
Oh, yeah. When he coming on loan?
The president of Liberia.
He is, yeah.
You know. Daniel scored a winner against Spurs, forever a legend at Chelsea.
Sturridge.
Kevin De Bruyne, obviously. Oh. Now, here are two that I'd forgotten completely. One is in honour of I'm going to sing this because Waltz has actually tweeted this in. You've lost that Terry feeling. Whoa, that Terry feeling.
Very clever.
You've lost that Terry feeling. Now he's gone. Whoa. Enough. Well done, Waltz. That was brilliant when I saw this. So, Terry Phelan.
Brilliant.
And last one, David Rocastle.
Oh, Rocky.
Who'd have thought? Now, that was what I thought, and I said, are there more than 11? And I tell you, man, the response has been absolutely insane.
Thank you to everyone.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I've really enjoyed that and reading your answers. But they've dug out some absolute dingers as well, so I'm going to whiz down here.
As in humdingers?
Yeah, it's an abbreviation of humdingers. Well spotted, Jonathan. Yeah. Tim Rolls, at @Tim_Rolls, Derek Kevin.
Yes.
Yeah, good shout. Swizzing down. Oh, Willie Caballero. Duh.
Oh, yeah. I know. Big
fancy
Willie.
I know. Exactly. Oh. We forgot. Eddie McCready, or also known as Mark, has said Gordon Davies, which I didn't realise.
Yes.
That's a good shout,
yes,
isn't it?
I knew, funny enough, he was the only one that I knew, and I was about to say, because I thought I only played for Fulham and Chelsea and Man City.
This is brilliant. This is from Greg Sarath, who says Clive Wilson and Colin Viljoen.
Colin who?
Bloody Colin Viljoen.
South African player. Yeah.
Viljoen.
But Clive Wilson, I met him at Kerry Dixon's DVD launch, and I sat on the same table and ate with him. He's a lovely bloke. And he, of course, I forgot he played for City as well. Dan, our very own Dan Silver, says Lauren Charvet.
Oh, yeah, Lauren Charvet. I remember him.
Yes.
And
he
as I said...
He was a bit poor as a player.
Yeah, he was. Poor, wasn't he?
Let's be frank.
Greenaway 56, who I accused of cheating and going to the same website as me, for which I apologise. Clearly,
he couldn't possibly.
I was only
joking. He's coming up with others.
No. I've now reread his tweet, and he has come up with the same as us. But he also put Clive Wilson in there.
Oh, right.
Which I didn't. So that's good. So there you go. I think that's a brilliant response. Well done to everybody.
Who's won?
Well, nobody wins.
But you have to have a winner.
Nobody came up with the comprehensive list. It wasn't.
Can I win then?
Just for
the hell of it.
Fun.
Can I win?
For fun.
I like winning.
Yeah, you can be the winner, John.
Oh, thank you.
Happy.
Yay, happy. Yeah, good on me.
Brilliant.
I got none, but
nice
I won.
One, kiddo. Well done.
You did well.
Thank you.
I love these. I'm going to keep doing
more,
these.
Each week, more. Yeah, yeah. If I make the whole show quizzes, then we don't need to speak.
No, I'm just people phone up.
Yeah.
We do quizzes.
That's right. That's
go home.
Go home.
It's great.
Yeah, we don't need to
go
be
to the
here.
Pub.
Well, why bother? We don't need to come in at all.
Enjoyable.
Aaron can run it.
Exactly.
Thoroughly enjoyable.
There we go. So, go on then. I can see you're itching to ask me a question, Aaron.
I'm not.
You are, and I can see it on your face.
Look, he's scratching himself.
I'll tell you what, I've got one. I've got one for Jonathan that's going to freak him out.
Oh, yes.
Don't forget to let us
know. I don't know any of the players who scored in the 6-0
victory. Because you know that this was spitefully called the El Cashico.
Oh, I like
recently,
that.
You know, because they've got loads of money. We've got loads of money, loads of money.
Yeah, yeah.
And I kind of, there's always been a kind of a weird thing. I've never really had a massive antipathy for Man City. And in a sense, I think the clubs are quite similar. And they were before they both came into a lot of money, you know, up and down a bit of glorious history in the early 70s. Da, 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 da.
But they were our rivals specifically, weren't they, in 70, 71?
Well, I was going to ask you that.
69, 70.
Well, you know, we played them
in the... They won the European Winners' Cup.
Yep. And then we played them in the Coupe Winners' Cup in 71 when they were the holders, and we beat them in the semi-final.
We did.
So you would have been there.
Yeah.
Do you remember, was there quite a rivalry? Was it nasty at all, or what?
No, I've never felt there was a nastiness. Yeah. In fact, I remember liking their players immensely because they played good football.
I used to know a good song involving Lee and Bell and Summerby, which I can't repeat on air. But people who are listening will know what I mean.
Was it rude?
It was.
Oh,
it was, but very funny.
But they had
Darren knows it.
They had classy players.
Colin Bell.
Colin Bell.
Whoa, what a player he was.
Yeah, lovely player. And
I'm waiting until he gets
And Franny Lee was...
Lee Wonpen.
What was that wonderful...
Lee Wonpen.
Yes, he just used to dive into the penalty area.
Awful belly flop dives.
Yeah.
And another player, Rodney
Mostly
Marsh.
For Derby, though, when he did that. He did that more for Derby. Yeah.
Like Rodders.
Dennis Law.
Yeah, wonderful player.
Dennis Law sent United down. Got to love him for that.
But they had Hislop played for them and...
Neil Young.
And Neil Young. Neil Young.
Later went on to be a great rock and roll
unbelievable.
Artist.
Unbelievable. Yeah. Searching for a Heart of Gold. Who'd have thought it, eh?
Yeah. In fact, he certainly harvested it in.
At the bridge after we'd played them, and I was standing there with my autograph book and trying to get all their autographs, he came up to me and said, and he'd been chatting to this rather attractive girl, and I noticed and thought, oh, I think they quite like each other. I was 12. And as one does. And,
are you
and he said, is there a park round here, Kidder? He called me Kidder. I thought, how do you know my name? No, I didn't. And I directed him to Eelbrook Common around the corner. I said, there's a bit round there you could go to if you wanted. You're going to have a snog, I said.
Really?
He looked me up and down. Yeah. I think there was more than snoggery
involved. How precocious.
Involved. I know.
How precocious.
Yeah, but we can't really talk about that because it's 18 plus. Chaps, let's have some pre
predictiones.
Yeah, predictiones. I said 2-0. 2-0 to the Sky Blues.
So you think we're going to lose? That.
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
Mate, I reckon... I've got no idea. We're capable of doing something stupid like beating them. I can see it happening.
Yeah, we are.
But I'm gonna go 1-1. I'm gonna go cautious because I am cautious.
Cautious.
1-1.
Cautious.
But I hope we win. I'll settle for 1-0 off somebody's bum in the last minute. I'd love to beat him. I really would.
Going 2-1 Chelsea.
You're going 2-1. You reckon we're going to do it?
Yeah.
You're not just saying that, are you?
They haven't lost 21 games, according to our friend David.
21, 2-1.
Yeah.
2-1 Chelsea.
I tell you what, I hope it's a good game. I hope it's exciting. I hope the crowd get well up for it. None of the, you know, half asleep antics of last week.
Yeah.
Really go.
Everyone's got to be up for the coup.
We'll be in the pub all day beforehand, so there's a good chance.
What, they will?
No, we will.
Oh, okay.
We'll be up for it. We'll go for it.
Gents, thank you very much for joining me. Chidge and JK, of course, available via your regular podcast. Cost provider.
Love Sport 558 AM.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates around. You've got your McNuggets share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping, and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.